If you're looking for startups for the rest of us, you're in the right place. I'm Rob Walling, and today I talk with Marie Martin about bootstrapping her form-building SaaS to 1.3 million in ARR and 300,000 free users. It's a great conversation, and what I love about what she and her partner have done is really go against the odds of launching something with a massive free plan, very generous, really low price point, and yet still being able to get to 1.3 million ARR in the span of just a few years. Marie is going to be speaking at MicroConf Europe in lovely Dubrovnik, Croatia. Tickets have just gone on sale. The event will sell out. It is being held October 6th through 8th at this amazing venue. It is literally one of the best, if not the best venues that we've ever had any MicroConf at. And I mean any MicroConf, a US, a Europe, really going to be an amazing event. So if you want to hear more from Marie, if you want to meet me in person and hang out with about 125 of your favorite bootstrapped founder friends, grab a ticket at microconf.com/Europe. That's microconf.com/Europe. Before we dive into the episode, I wanted to let you know that it's your last chance to apply for MicroConf Masterminds. Applications close on June 12th at midnight. Finding the right founders to surround yourself with can feel like an impossibly hard task. Over the past few years, our team has successfully hand-matched over 1,000 founders into mastermind groups by looking at your revenue, team size, strengths, goals, and a few other data points to make sure your peer group is the right fit. Once matched, you'll also have access to our mentorship series, a three-month program where you can connect with some great minds in sales, business development, marketing, and more. If you're looking for accountability, honest feedback about your business, and the opportunity to make new friends that care about your success, you can learn more and apply today at microconfmasterminds.com. Applications are closing soon, so make sure to get your application in by June 12th. Again, that's microconfmasterminds.com. It's a great conversation. I hope you enjoy it. Let's dive in. Marie, welcome to Startups for the Rest of Us.
Thank you so much for having me.
I'm excited to talk to you today about Tally, and that's at tally.so. Your H1 is the simplest way to create forms. Say goodbye to boring forms. Meet Tally, the free intuitive form builder you've been looking for.
Correct.
And you're quite the success story with the indie hacker build in public crowd, in the sense that you're one of, I'll say it's a small number of folks who are trying to launch things and be a lifestyle bootstrapper. And you're one of the small number that has really achieved some marked success with it. Can you give us an idea of where the business is today? Because you've been very public about numbers. I've heard you talk about in other presentations, but where do you stand?
Yeah, we now have around 300,000 users worldwide using Tally. Most of them are free. We have around 4,500 paying customers, and that kind of results in 1.3 million ARR today.
That's incredible. And that's over the course of, what, 3 years? Did you launch in 21?
Yeah. So in after summer, it will be 4 years. Yep.
4 years. Okay. So let's back the clock up. That gives people an idea of where you are. Oh, and how large is your team?
So we're actually like 2.5 people. I would say we don't have any full-time employees yet. That will change soon, though. So it's basically me and Philip. Philip is my technical co-founder, but also my partner in life. And then we have, freelancer helping us out part-time for customer support.
You have 300,000 users and a part-time customer support person. That is incredible.
Yes.
Are you and Philip doing support as well?
Not anymore. We do, okay. I mean, once in a while, but it's definitely not our main task anymore. No.
How is it possible with that many users that you don't have? I mean, because my last SaaS drip, we had 12 full-time customer support people by the time we had, I think it was 30 or 40,000 free users. So obviously different products, you know, drip is very complicated. It's marketing automation. It's a lot more expensive and all that. Is it that just the nature of Tally that it's so easy and to build a form and you just kind of know what you're doing, or why, how would that possibly not be a full-time job?
Yeah, I think the main ingredient there is that we really try to keep the product simple. So, you know, as you read on the website, simplest way to create forms. So the simpler, the easier for people to use. So there's a heavy focus on that user experience. Besides that, we have invested a lot in documenting, in creating tutorials and making sure that it is self-service. It is, you know, worthwhile mentioning that now it's one part-time person, but we are actually hiring two more people. But they will also work like a couple of hours a day, basically, but in different time zones so that we can reduce our response time. Because now it's like max one day, but it is getting difficult. So that's an important note there. But yeah, I think because of the product, really, the product itself is pretty intuitive. And people can find their own way through it. But definitely support has been an important factor in our journey. We can maybe talk about it a bit more later. It has gone with ups and downs. We have had to implement a lot of new measures to keep it, manageable. But yeah, for now, it's one part-time person. Yeah.
Yeah, and I think intuitive is one thing, but a lot of us build intuitive software. I get the feeling that it's the nature of the product, that if you're going to build a form builder, you kind of know you're going to type some stuff out, you're going to drag and drop something, and then you're going to post it. And that's it, right? There's not a ton of complexity beyond that. I think of it also like electronic signature, like Ruben Gomez, who comes on the show a lot, has Signwell. And there's stuff to that product, but really it's like you sign in, you upload a document, and someone signs it or they don't. Like, that's the extent of the process, right? It is just a simpler product than like a CRM or marketing automation. Yeah.
Definitely. There's that. And I think where it becomes complex is like integrations, because forms are usually the beginning of the workflow. So a lot of support is also about that. You know, the moment it gets a bit more technical, you can inject custom CSS, like stuff like that. Like, it can get pretty advanced because people build crazy things with no code tools. But at the heart, it's just a form indeed, right? First name, last name, email. So most people can, make that work. Yeah.
Okay, so let's step back a little bit to, let's say, 2021 or around the time you launched. There were already dozens, if not hundreds, of form builders. So what did you do in the early days? And I heard some rumblings about like cold outreach that you were doing, which is crazy to me because A, if you have a free plan, and B, your only paid plan, so folks know, is $29 a month. Cold outreach doesn't work at that scale. Like you can't make money on a product doing cold outreach at $29. So you were doing cold outreach for other reasons. What were you doing to get it kickstarted and to get people to pay attention when there's already 150, 200, 300 form builders out there?
Yeah. So I think there's two parts. So we're bootstrapped and we're a small team, right? And from the beginning, we were very conscious about that. Like, we wanted to keep it bootstrapped. We wanted to keep it small and lean. And so for us, it seemed easier to go in a very competitive market. You know, there's demand, but where we can just grab that small percentage of the market. And if we can manage to do that, that's already huge for us because, we're so small, we don't have to earn as much as the big players. Of course, downside of that is that we don't have the marketing budgets of the big ones, so we had to do something different. We didn't have any network in the space, so we mainly launched in the beginning in no-code communities and on indie hackers, right? And to basically get the first users, we did cold outreach because that was, the simplest way to do. We would go on Product Hunt. On Product Hunt, we would look at people that have upvoted similar products like ours or no code tools, so not necessarily form builders. We would make lists of them, hundreds, thousands of them in a Google Sheet, and find manually at the time their contact details and reach out to them. So that's basically what I did, I think, for 4 or 5 months, nonstop, every day, while Philip was, building and improving the MVP. And by doing that, we kind of found, our way into some communities. One of them was No Code France, which is pretty big in Europe. In Belgium, the whole no-code movement was not really happening yet. They helped us a lot in the start, promoting us, sharing us in their community. And that's how we found like our first 1,000 users, by simply DMing people.
That's crazy. Talk about doing things that don't scale, right? Paul Graham talks about that. So I don't know if you're cool with, I kind of lump you into the indie hacker build in public space. Is that, do you identify with that? Yeah. So
yeah, sure.
Most indie hackers that I see want to post on Twitter and then, build a huge following and then like launch stuff to them, but not do the grind, the cold outreach. Were you a free tool? Were you cold outreaching to get people to come use a free tool, or did you have recharging? So it was free.
It was free. Wow. We just wanted to get people on board. We had our Tally Pro, our subscription, our paid plan after a couple of months, but we didn't have any in the beginning. And actually, one of our first users said like, oh man, I really love this. Like, where can I pay? And we didn't have, you couldn't pay yet. And then that was for us like a very early sign of, okay, we might be onto something. And he's actually still, we then made like this $5 a month and he's still on this plan just to, have them support us. And I guess that's kind of the success formula of Tally, is that we've given so much value for free and we've kind of build a product that some people really love to use. And so it kind of becomes a no-brainer for them to pay for it once they can.
Yeah. Right. And I do want to call out here for listeners, because a lot of people try free. And I would say 9 out of 10 who try it doesn't work. Maybe 95 out of 100. Like, it is a lot. And Ruben Gomez has these 4 markers that I often quote. I actually put them in my book, of when freemium can work. And if you don't have all 4 of them, you probably shouldn't try freemium. One is that you have almost zero support. And we've already covered that, because again, if you go free and you have 10,000 users and you need to support them, catastrophically expensive, right? If you're scaling up. The second is there's no real incremental cost for new users, meaning a new user signs up. Let's say I had an SMS app where I'm sending text messages. Very, very expensive to send SMS, right? Very expensive AI, very expensive. Like, there's certain, even email is not very expensive, but there's a little cost to it. So really having almost zero marginal cost, which it sounds like you do. The third is that folks can self onboard and they can get very quick value from the product. So back to my earlier example, electronic signature has a free plan, SignWell does. If you're going to have someone e-sign a doc, what do? You log in, you upload a doc, they sign it. It's very quick to value. With a form builder, I bet I could build a form in Tally in 5 or 10 minutes if I kind of half-assed knew what I was doing. And post it.
And less, and we don't even require to sign up. So you can literally go to the website and do it. Yep.
So super quick to value. So this makes sense. Versus a CRM, marketing automation, email, right? Where you're like building workflow. It's a different type of tool. And the fourth one is some measure of virality. And if you have a free plan with no virality, it's usually don't do it. It's not worth it, right? But you, as a form builder, if I set up a Tally form and I share it with people, you have a logo, I'm assuming, and some type of, you're in tally.so, right?
Yeah.
Got it.
We have the virality baked in, right? Because, forms are viral by nature. And that's why we invest a lot in getting free users, because they are the biggest growth engine of our product, basically.
That's your engine. Yep. And that's what I want to call out to folks listening, is it is the indie hacker dream or the lifestyle bootstrapper's dream to just never talk to any human and build a product that does 10, 20, 50,000 a month. And so often people get pulled to freemium because Tally made it work, so I'm going to do free too. But it's like, unless you have what Tally does, which is a very simple product, which is super elegant, which needs no support, all these things, you really shouldn't try this. It just doesn't work. And I see people trying it and failing. In fact, when I was, so I sold Drip, which was an email marketing automation provider, and the acquirers were venture funded, $38 million in venture. That's how they could afford to buy us. And they introduced a free plan. I was still there at the time and I was kind of like, I don't know if this is going to work, guys. I mean, I'm fine to do whatever you want. You're running the company. I was running product at the time. If you want to do free, we'll implement it, but I just don't know. And, it kind of didn't.
It didn't work.
It really didn't, because it didn't have, we had a little bit of virality, right? It's like, an email with this, a powered by Drip link.
Yeah.
But the other stuff is not no support. There is incremental cost because we were sending hundreds of millions of emails a month. There was no self-onboarding and quick device. It was just, it was like 1 out of 4 at most. So I want to call that out of like, you've built an incredible business with this approach, but I don't want everyone listening to think, I just do the same thing, because you really need, do you agree? And I'm sitting here kind of preaching at you, but
I totally agree. I think for us, one of the main reasons as well is that we we made it free is because we had to do something else than the market at that time, right? Because we are so small and, you know, the type forms and jot forms, they all have volume-based pricing. And that's something that we didn't want to do. So we have to make it free at the cost, of course, of having to support a lot of free users. But we kind of have to do that, you know, to differentiate ourselves in the market. And Tally would not be where it is today without our free plan, right? You know, we have grown organically until now. We haven't invested anything in paid acquisition. So not making it free was not really an option for us, you know?
Yeah, that was a marketing channel. Yeah, you can't invest in paid acquisition at your lifetime value. It just wouldn't work.
No.
$29 bucks a month. Even if everyone you acquired upgraded to $29 a month plan, there are no ads anywhere on earth that you can make that LTV work. So it makes sense that this is your growth engine is the free thing. Now, did you know this going in? You know, all the stuff we just talked about where I was like, oh, free is actually quite hard and it only works 1 out of 10, 5 out of 100. Did you know that going in, or were you like really strategic and surgical about it? Or did you kind of get lucky where it's like, we're going to try free. Oh my gosh, it worked.
Yeah, I mean, we were pretty strategic about it being free. I think we didn't fully knew the power of the virality and how, you know, the whole product-led growth system would work. But we knew that it had to be free and that we had to stick to this and that it would also, it wouldn't always be great, you know, we wouldn't make less money, but we had to keep it free in order to grow. And that's the framework in which we were operating, and we were still sticking to that. Like, it needs to be free and needs to be simple. That's what makes it work for Tally. So we knew that, but we definitely couldn't predict that it would, you know, grow in the way that it did. So it's not like we, you know, we knew everything when we started. Definitely not. Yeah.
I've never heard of anyone doing cold outreach for a free tool with no paid plan. That's crazy. But you were doing it you were trying to get the momentum, right? I mean,
yeah, we were trying to get the word out there, you know, like we've built something new. It's a bit different than at the time what was at the market, you know. Also, we launched 4 years ago. I think the last 2 years, a lot of people have launched new form builders, but there weren't, I feel like there were a bit less, you know, bootstrapped ones at the time. And we just wanted to get the word out there and find those first users. And we managed, I think we got around a 20% response rate to our cold outreach, which is pretty crazy. Of course, it was pretty targeted. Like, we would really go to founders, people in design, people in no code, people in product, like people that use Notion because we have a similar interface like them. So that definitely also helped us. And yeah, the cold outreach, it's something that I would definitely actually recommend, and I would do it again, because we needed that first batch of 1,000 users to get the flywheel, you know, going and to start the product-led growth.
We've been partnering with Lemon.io for several years, and they've proven to be a great choice when it comes to hiring for a highly skilled developer to work on your project. Here are 5 reasons why you should consider working with Lemon.io. Number 1, the time from your request to getting a candidate is just 48 hours. Number 2, their developers have previously worked with tech giants like Apple, Google, Netflix, Airbnb, Intel, and Lego. Number 3, they only provide senior devs with an average of 7 years experience. Number 4, their talent pool covers more than 300 dev languages and frameworks. And lastly, number 5, your hire comes with a zero-risk replacement guarantee. Customers of Lemon.io typically stick around for at least a year, proving they know how to gain your trust by delivering consistent results. Quit wasting time searching for a solid developer at a great price. Get in touch with Lemon.io. As a bonus for our podcast listeners, you'll get a 15% discount on your first 4 weeks of working with a developer at lemon.io/startups. That's lemon.io/startups. So I'm curious if you've heard the phrase shrinking a market. It's where you come in. So Craigslist did this with classified ads, newspaper classified ads, where they came in and they basically were like, hey, we're free. And newspaper classified ads just collapsed, right? And then, frankly, the newspaper business kind of collapsed because that was their main, you know, main source of revenue. You see it when Make competing against Zapier, where they come in and they're like, we're 80% of Zapier or whatever, you know, the functionality is, and we are way cheaper. And you see this with folks going against Salesforce, where Zapier and Salesforce, they still have the brand names, but competitors come in under them and really underprice them. And it feels like you did the same thing here with what Jotform and Typeform and Payperform and FormSecond, SurveyMonkey and WooFoo and Zoho Forms and Microsoft Forms and SurveySpera. Like, there are a lot of them out there, but they charge, especially as they get larger, they follow the pricing playbook. Like, this is what we talk about at TinySeed. This is what I talk about in my book of like, hey, if people are getting, you know, a million form requests per month, they should be paying you a shitload of money, right? Because they're getting a ton of value, and that they're, the money they pay you should increase with the value. That's like the playbook they run, and it's the playbook I run, frankly. But you haven't done that. You have a free plan and you have a $29 a month plan, which honestly kills me. I mean, if I were to invest in you, I'd be like, oh my gosh, you need more tiers, and B, you need to charge more. Like, I know that, because I know that you could. I know that you could. Like, with 300,000 free users, like, you could be a $5 or $10 million business.
Yeah, we could.
What is your thinking on that? Like, are you going to keep this pricing forever? Or is this something to get, because you've built an incredible brand already, an incredible momentum. And is there a time where you reap that, where you reap what you've sown, and you do introduce higher price plans, or the 29 becomes a, even if the 29 becoming a $49 plan, like, we do the math on that, you double the size, the revenue of your business, you know, overnight. So talk me through the thinking there.
Yeah, it's a discussion we have, obviously. We have, you know, you're not the first one saying that we're leaving a lot of money on the table. I think what has worked for us is keeping things free and simple and only having one pricing tier, you know, and the fact that it's priced that low is part of, or is actually, you know, a large part of the success of Tally. Like, imagine we would introduce higher priced plans, then we would also, one of our USPs would be gone, right? And the cost of marketing would increase. So that's kind of how we look at it. We do feel like more enterprises or larger companies are starting to get interested in Tally and using us. And we're not fully equipped for that. You know, we don't have the legal team. We don't have the compliancy. All of that costs a lot of money as well. So we're heavily focusing on startups, creators, you know, the smaller businesses where a Jotform, Typeform, they're only, especially Typeform, they're only raising their prices. So they're moving away. They're moving up market. We are doing the opposite. So I think for us, as long as we're small and we remain a small team, it makes sense to not raise our prices. We have talked about introducing like more of an enterprise plan, right? But that would come with more support as well, you know, compliancy, all the things that I've mentioned before. And we're not sure if that's the road that we want to take as well with Tally, especially because, you know, we're having a lot of fun doing what we're doing now. So to be discussed, to be honest, it's not something that we're planning to change in the near future, because we feel like we can grow a lot more with what we're doing now, but maybe one day. But it's not something that is on the table right now. Yeah.
And that's the freedom you have as a bootstrapper, is you can limit your growth. You don't have to optimize everything, right? You can make that choice.
Yeah.
Because the business, the pricing right now is, at least I would argue, is it's not optimal, but you're making that choice to do that, right?
Right.
You don't have to go all the way to enterprise. You mentioned enterprise a few times. When I look at your pricing, I think $29 a month, could be a $99.
Is too far off.
Yeah. $1,000, $2,000, whatever. But there's a $49 or a $99 and a $149 and a $200, you know, or whatever, that could then have tiers. I guess my question, so I understand your pricing, is if I were to sign up and I had 20 team members, 50 team members using Tally, and we were getting 10 million form submissions a month, and we had 1,000 forms out there, would I pay you $29 a month?
No, because we have a fair use policy. So basically, when you sign up, you also need to agree to the policy. And it basically says that when you exceed a normal usage, so when it causes really, you know, when you would have millions of submissions a month, then we would basically, draft out a custom pricing based on the volume. So it can be very, very high usage, or collecting a very large amount of file uploads, you know, things that cost us a lot of money as well. Then, you would be on a custom plan. And that can go from hundreds of euros to, you know, to more, depending on the volume.
Got it. So you do have people paying, you do have businesses paying you hundreds of euros.
Yeah, it's a smaller amount. It's not really where we focus on as well, but we do have some kind of policy, or like fair use policy in place. Yeah.
And is that, so let's say I was paying you $29 a month and is it when I go over like 50,000 form submissions in a month?
It's something like that. Like, and if it would need to be consistently. So if it would be like 100,000 for 6 months, then, you know, then we would need to adjust the pricing. Yeah.
Got it. Yeah. That's where the money is. That's where the money is. Yeah. See, I think there's a lot of money to be had with that. So 300,000 free users, 4,500 paying. So 1.5% of your free users have become paying customers.
Yeah, it's a bit more. Yeah, but it's like 1.5 to 2% or something like that. Yeah.
Okay. So, and that gives, I want folks to understand that, because again, like we launched a free plan at Drip and I think we went to 30 or 40,000 free users over the course of, while it existed, it doesn't exist anymore. And I don't remember if that was a year or 18 months. Getting to 300,000 paid or free users, even just that, is insanely difficult. That is like mad props to you for building that engine. And is that pure virality? Like, is it really, once you got the flywheel, that is what you've banked on? Like, there, you really haven't done any other marketing?
No, I mean, we've built in public, you know, we've been active sharing that, but that really doesn't compare to the impact of the virality of the forum. Yeah.
So virality has been the key to growth to date, but that will take you so far, right? You, typically, if you're having the success that you're having, you're looking at other marketing approaches, A, so you can diversify, but B, so you can grow faster. What's next on your list of marketing approaches to attack?
So this year, we're looking at two things, actually. There's influencer marketing and there's SEO. SEO, because we've, from the start, made like some really simple comparison pages, you know, just to like try out what it would do. And we do have some that are pretty successful for us, like free typeform alternative page, you know, forms for Notion, like some very specific ones that are getting us more traffic. So we are now, you know, investing in, okay, what should our strategy be? Which content should we create to grow organic search? And then influencer marketing, for me, kind of really matches with like the positive word of mouth that we have been having by just, you know, really engaged, happy users sharing content anyway about Tally, and just the idea of how can we amplify that and how can we make sure that there's more content being made around Tally, especially like YouTube is something that is almost unexplored for us, but that can be, I think, a really good acquisition channel. Same like TikTok, for example. So that's something that we're looking at experimenting with this year. Yeah.
One thing that we dealt with a lot at Drip, because we sent email, was we dealt with hackers and we dealt with spammers. It was awful. At your volume, you have to be dealing with spammers. Actually, I was checking you out on Twitter because I wanted to get your Twitter handle. And it looks like you're currently dealing with, as we're recording this will go live in a couple of weeks, but you're currently like blocked on Verizon or whatever. And I've had all of this happen too. What is that burden like, or what, like, how are you working around that? And what is the experience like dealing with that constant influx?
It's the first time that has been as bad as this week. So we have abusers coming in all the time. We have to spend a lot of time on detecting phishing, you know, abusive forms. People find all kinds of ways to, you know, to abuse the product. So that's definitely a downside of having the free product. But even then, you know, people pay with stolen credit cards and still abuse the system. We have been improving like abuse detection, like, you know, our systems a lot, but still it requires some manual moderation in the end, which is actually quite time intensive job. And since last week, indeed, we have been blocked by several ISPs around the world. We're trying to figure out why, because it's very difficult to get in touch with them, to know what the source is, especially if you're not a customer. And it's hard to be a customer with all the providers around the world. So we're actively trying our, you know, asking our users for help. They are also contacting their providers to figure out what's going on. So yeah, we somehow got flagged or blocked, which makes it impossible for some people in the States, people in the Emirates as well, to access Tally. And Yeah, it's the first time we're experiencing it on this scale. And it's pretty scary because it's something that we don't fully control ourselves. It's not like we can just introduce an easy fix and it will be solved. So yeah, we're trying to reach out to everyone possible to have it, to make it go away or have it fixed as soon as possible. But I think it's probably one of the most stressful weeks in the history of Tally, that we're in right now.
I'm sorry to hear that. And I know exactly what that feels like, where it's not in your control. Back in my day, I used to be like, this could be it. Like, we could be done here. All of our IPs, sending IPs, got blacklisted at one point because of spammers. And I was like, if we can't send email, what are we doing, right? And it's this crazy existential, like, anxiety. So I am sure that's going through your mind.
Yeah, I can relate.
Sorry to hear it. I think as a final question, I want to ask, there's tens of thousands of listeners to this podcast, and I think someone listening might be thinking, can I take the learnings from Tally? And I'm going to say some of the learnings are, start with free, be really low cost, like just undercut, price undercut, keep it simple, whatever, go into a different market to take it and apply. I want to apply this to compete with Intercom or Salesforce or Zapier or just what, you know, any market that we could pick. What are your thoughts on when this would work and when it wouldn't? Because I don't think it's going to work against Salesforce, for example, like complex products, blah, blah, blah. But like, have you given any thought to how replicatable your success is to a new entrepreneur or a new space?
I think it is, as long as you manage to, because as long as you manage to build a product that people actually love to use. And I think the word love is important in there, because our early users are really the people that really value the interface that we created, for example. A lot of people don't care how it looks, you know, they just want something that works. But I feel like the small group of maybe even a niche of people that really values that user experience is what kind of got us our first users, and they were also the most heavy promoters, and they have spread the word around us. So if you can, you know, tap into that small crowd of early adapters, you know, to find first users, and then afterwards you can scale, I think you can replicate it. I think you can build like a very, very simple alternative to an Intercom, you know, like, why not, right? If it's cheap, if it's what people need in the beginning of their, for example, indie hacker career, I think it could work, but it needs to be, and I think, you know, that's also a big, big part of our success, is it needs to be built very well, and it needs to, you know, it needs to look good, it needs to be fun to use, and you need to be able to, you need to have that virality somehow. So yeah, maybe with an Intercom that would be more difficult, but I think that's, yeah, the virality is probably the key ingredient, yeah.
I think you're overlooking something. It's market size.
Yeah.
Form builder, the market size, the number of three. I don't think if I build a cheap competitor, simple competitor, Intercom, I wouldn't get 300,000 free users. Like, no. I might get 10,000.
Yeah.
And so the numbers wouldn't work. So that's a factor I think that people would have to think
about.
Yeah,
and everyone needs a form, right?
Everyone.
At one point.
It's a huge market, and that is such an advantage that you have. So if you're going to enter
definitely.
It's got to have, for you to have 300,000 free users, there are tens of millions of users worldwide, right? If not hundreds of millions. And like, how many, there's a rhetorical question, but how many software markets have that many users? There's probably electronic signature there. You know, we can think of a few, but I don't think there are hundreds of markets that are that big. I think there's tens of markets. So that's what someone would need. Again, I'm trying to say this to educate folks who are listening to be like, be careful, because you can't just take lessons from your, you know, experience and be like, oh, I could just apply this anywhere. It doesn't work that way.
Yeah, market size is definitely, is definitely a big factor in it, for sure. Yeah.
But I mean, your success speaks for itself, and it's super impressive.
Thank you.
To have watched your journey. And when I look back, you know, I listened to a few interviews in prepping for this, and there was an interview from whatever, a year or two ago, and it's like, we have 60,000 free users. And then there was one where you said 100,000. And I expected when you got on today that you were going to say some number that was slightly bigger than 100, but to hear 300,000, I'm just like, oh my gosh, like, it's going faster. The momentum is building. So it's really impressive. And it's been great having you on the show today.
Thank you. Thank you so much for inviting me.
If folks want to keep up with you, you are Marie Martens on Twitter. That's Martens. And of course, tally.so.
Yeah,
if they want to check out an amazing form builder. Yeah, great. Thanks again for coming on, Marie.
Thank you so much.
Thanks again to Marie for joining me on the show. And thanks to you for listening. this and every week. If you haven't yet left a review or given this podcast a thumbs up in whatever player you use or given it 5 stars, followed it on Spotify, I don't even know how all that works. I'd really appreciate it. It helps others find the show and keeps me motivated to keep producing it. I'll be back in your ears again next Tuesday. This is Rob Walling signing off from episode 717.